Thank you, Sam. And I join with Ben this morning in welcoming all of you to our worship service today. We're so thankful and grateful and truly gratified by the great love of our Father who is in heaven, who is preparing that great place that we've just been singing about, heaven. Heaven holds all to me. I've been singing that song since I was just a young boy growing up in my East Texas hometown. And it's a very beautiful song. Brother Tillett S. Tedley wrote that song a number of years ago. And not only Sam was acquainted with him, but I had the opportunity to be acquainted with him as well. And he captured heaven, actually, in our minds. You know, a lot of times in life, we get detoured from the things that we know that we need to be doing. And instead of putting first things first, sometimes the important things in life are placed last and on the totem pole, so to say. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about putting first things first in your life as an individual. You know, we spend a lot of time with projects at home. People spend numerous hours taking care of things that, need to be done around the house. Audrey and I worked around the house yesterday just doing all kinds of things, along with my grandson who helped, and we appreciated that. You know, people go to the gym sometimes to work out. Someone said to me not long ago, had this been about 50 or 60 years ago, you wouldn't have needed to go to the gym. You'd be so tired from all the things that you were doing every day. Maybe so. Not wrong to go to the gym, but a lot of times that's not putting first things first. People have responsibilities around town as well as the home. And what do we really declare to be the most important thing in our life? I really believe that there are some things that we need to be doing that are more important than things around the house, than what you're doing at the gym or anything of that nature. But we need to be reading the Bible. We need to be worshiping God more. You know, if we were getting closer every day to the coming judgment of God, and we are, and if it is true that our time upon this earth is limited, and it is, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3 said that there is a time for all things. We are to buy the time and waste it not, Solomon said. And so we are to worship God. And a lot of people say, well, I'll take care of that later. You know what? We need to get rid of later and start saying, I'll take care of that right now. In the book of Luke 10, verse 38 through 42, Jesus is telling Martha that there are some things that are more important than other things. Now, you remember this setting, how Christ had come as a guest to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that we read about later in Luke chapter 11. Well, anyway, Martha was one of these busy housewives. You know, I mean, she tries to take care of everything around the house. And Mary was busy studying and learning about God all she possibly could. And so when Jesus got to the house and he's awaiting the meal, the Bible says that Martha comes outside and just approaches Jesus and said, would you have my sister here come into the house and help me with the meal? And Martha seemed to be real troubled about it all. And Jesus said unto her, you know what, Martha? Mary has chosen the better part. Mary has chosen the very part, but you are careful and troubled about many things. Now, I want you to notice also in verse 42, Jesus said, but one thing is needful. Just one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When life puts you down, in tough situations, don't say, why me? just say unto God, God, try me. Try me. And you know what? God does try us at times to determine just how faithful we are. Someone appropriately had said that happiness will keep you sweet. Trials will keep you strong. Sorrows will keep you human. Failures will keep you humble. And God will keep you going. That is, we need to be doing God's business. I mean, Jesus taught in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things, these mundane things, these things that you worry about so much will take care of themselves. So this morning, I want to share with you some things that I really believe are important, but some spiritual things that we need to be putting first in our life. The reason I do that is the fact that, you know what, we're setting the agenda for our children and for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We are telling them what is more important to us than anything else. And we have to say unto them, it must be God. He must be first. Seek ye first. Jesus said, he didn't say it was wrong to seek the other things, but he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he says, in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are to seek not only the kingdom of God, but we are to seek the righteousness of God. You see, many in the day of Jesus, many of those that were called scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, they had a form of righteousness, but it was not of God. And Christ even said, unless your righteousness supersedes or exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if we want to go to heaven, we've got to have a form of righteousness that is consistent with that which Christ taught about. Jesus said, blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, we must seek. In that one passage, it's amazing. There is a principle to follow. There is a people. When he says, seek ye, there is a priority which says first. There is a place that is called the kingdom of God. There is a pattern, and that pattern is the kingdom of God and his teaching. And then there is a promise, he says, and these things will be added unto you, and they will. But we have to put God first. Let me ask you a question this morning. If your children were looking at your life, would they say that you are putting God first? If your grandchildren were looking at your life and trying to make an assessment about your Christianity, would they say that they are putting God first? Would they say that? I hope that they would. But what happens when you put God first? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you, first of all here, when you put God first, let God say something to you every day. Does God speak to us? Yes, he does. Does he speak to us in an audible voice? No. How does he speak to us? He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through what we call the Bible. And he says a lot of things. That's the reason I say it's important for us to open up the Bible and let God say something to you every day. It may be he may say something about your weakness. He may say something about temptation that you're wrestling with. He may say something about greed that you're wrestling with. He may say something to you about being a better husband or being a better wife or being better parents. He may say something to you about start going to worship on a regular basis and honor God and put him first. God could be saying a number of things unto you. He doesn't speak to us in a miraculous way, but he does speak to us through the Bible. That's the why Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, too many of us go day after day without ever consulting the Bible and trying to find out how we ought to live lives that are more consistent with that of Christ. And by doing this, we are refusing to allow God to say something to us. You know, if someone is speaking to you, they have to be in your presence, and you have to be there as well. And you know what? If we want God to speak unto us, we have to put ourselves in the presence of God and allow God to speak to us. And folks, that has to be number one. It cannot be on the back burner. It cannot be when you are less busier. It cannot be when maybe you just don't feel good. I mean, you know what? We have to study the Word of God. When was the last time you let God say something to you? When was the last time you let God say something to you? Now, I'm going to tell you something. God is speaking through me this morning. I'm not a God. Don't want to be God. But He uses me as a tool to speak to you. And what I am to speak are His words, not mine. His words. That's why when we come together on the Lord's Day, or any time the Word of God is being taught by a preacher of the gospel, God is speaking unto you. If that man is preaching unto you about God and teaching you what God actually says. In the book of John, the 5th chapter and verse 39, the Scripture says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Think about it. The Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, search the Scriptures daily to find out if what is taught is coming from the lips of one who has the righteousness of God living in his life. But in Acts 17, the Bible says the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, inasmuch as they searched the Scriptures daily to find out if what was being taught is so. Now, that's a challenge. I know it is. But I tell you, I challenge you with my own words. Listen to what I say. If it's not true according to the Bible, write it off. And you come to me and you rebuke me, even as a preacher of the gospel and an elder of the Lord's church, for teaching things that are wrong and inconsistent with God's Word. The Bible says so much about God's Word. In Psalms 119 and 105, David said, "Your Word is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." In Psalm 1:1-2, he says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate both day and night." And then in Acts 17, search the Scripture. Notice this. Don't just look casually. Don't let it just be a glance. But read the Bible. Read the Word of God. And study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And in Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, who had asked about, are we going to be married in heaven? What a question. Anyway, Jesus says, "You do err, not knowing the Scripture, nor the power of God." That's our big mistake, isn't it, in the church today? That's why the church is running off in different directions, and that's why the church is not the body that it ought to be. That is why we're failing to grow. That is why we're failing in our spiritual life. And let me tell you something, if you fail in your spiritual life, you will fail in the church as well. For the church is no stronger than the Christians who make up that body. I hope that we'll all remember that. What happens when you put God first? You say something to God. First of all, you let God say something to you. But then secondly, you say something to God every day. That is, you pray. And I'm not talking about a little flippant prayer like rubby dub dub, thank you for the grub. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting down to gut level with God and really communicating to God the feelings deep within your soul and really talking to God. You don't have to use holy tones. Just talk to God like you'd talk to me or like you'd talk to someone else. And there is a way to do that reverentially. We should say something to God many times a day, if nothing more than just to say, thank you, God. Now, people may think you're an idiot, but God knows you're not. You could walk down the street saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. I don't think you can thank God enough. I don't. Prayer will stop the sin in your life, or sin will stop the prayer. Maybe the reason you're not praying as often as you should is because there is sin at your door. And you're thinking, how could I ask God to do this when I allow sin in my own life and hold on to sin? There are four things that we should do to let God be God. We need to keep in mind that God hears us. He answers us. He heeds us. And He delivers us by the requests that we make. Jesus said every prayer that is prayed should be prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ taught. And it is true. And we must pray every day. And we look at our world today and all the troublesome spots around the world. A lot of that could be cured if we just prayed unto God to take control again, God. Not only of my life, but take control of our nation. Take control of the nation of Iran. Take control of the nation of Afghanistan. Take control of the nation of Iraq. Take control of the nation of Saudi Arabia. And let's let God do His thing. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer will change the way we sin. And we will stop sinning. For in Luke 8, verse 1 through 8, the Bible says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming unto me weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of God cometh, shall He find faith on this earth? I think you get the picture of what Christ said. Prayer should be a part of our everyday life. And you know what? Some of the Mideastern countries have a lot more respect for prayer than we as American people do at times. You know what they do? They pause three times a day to bow the knee to Allah. And we cannot even bow the knee to Jehovah God 1 hour. Prayer moves mountains in our lives. And Christ said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, the book of James is such a great book. James said in James chapter 4, "Ye lust and have not. You kill and you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. Ye fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not." I want to challenge everybody in this audience today to go home and pray about this war that is going on in Iran. That God will bring justice, and that the war will be over, and that the insensible people will be brought to their senses. And I'm going to tell you something, a little town like Palestine, Texas, in Anderson County, Texas, can move the hand of the Almighty. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing, for faith can move mountains. And if prayer and faith can move mountains in our lives, how many mountains have you removed from your own life? Maybe you're facing a mountain right now in your life, and you don't know how you're going to move it. You've tried everything in the world. Why not try prayer? Why not pray about it? What happens when you put God first in your life? Not only let God say something to you, and you say something for God every day, or to God every day, but thirdly, say something to God every day. Say something about Him. Are you telling others about Christ? How often do you bring up Jesus in a conversation? Does He ever come up? I mean, we talk about the weather. We talk about politics. We talk about gas prices. Lord knows where they're going to end. The song says, "It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you, for there is no secret what God can do." But too many days, weeks, months, and years go by without our speaking to somebody about God. I read statistically, did you know that less than 10% of born-again children of God, Christians, will share their faith before they die? 10%. Where do you fall in percentages? Are you a part of the 10%? Or must you confess you aren't? Jesus is the name, the sweetest name that ever graced this earth. And we should talk more about God and have more of God in our conversation with people. You see, you'll find out where they really are. Very seldom do we talk about God and what God has done for us, or what God can do for others. You see, I can brag about my love for God. Not really. Some people do. Some people say, "Oh, you just don't know how much I love God." Do you? No, we can't brag about how much we love God. We fail Him every day. But we can brag about His love for us, because His love never, ever fails. For in Mark, the 16th chapter and verse 15, the gospel starts on the job, the neighborhood, the school, with family. And what if no one had talked to you or your parents about Christ? Where would you be today? What happens when you put God first? Well, fourthly, you do something for God every day. You don't just say something to Him every day and say something about God to others every day, but you do something for God every day. When was the last time you did something for God? You may say, well, I came to worship this morning. We always refer to it as worship services. But is that what service to God is about? No, worship is about praising God for who He is and for what He's done, not us. It is about honoring God with our life and declare Him to be the sovereign one, that we are putting Him first. Do something. Jesus said, don't just be hearers only, but be doers of the Word of God. And just remember that when nobody else was there for you, God was there, and He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Do something for God. And when we are busy every day, but very little is being done for God, there is something wrong with that picture. That's why Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren, and he said in Galatians 6 and verse 1, as we have opportunity to do good to all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. In Matthew 5, Christ said it this way, to let your light so shine before the world that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do you realize so much of what we do in this world is in vain? It won't be remembered. Probably won't even be remembered yesterday. It won't matter 100 years from now for sure. But not one thing of what we do for God is an act of vanity. It isn't. It will last for all eternity. For blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14 and verse 13. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, James says in James 1 and verse 22. Or 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God wants us to do something amazing for Him. And the bigger the obstacles are in front of us, the bigger our future. Don't get so discouraged. You just have to keep moving forward with the help of God. How can you be strong? How can you enjoy your life? Life is not about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself with the help of God and being made in the image of our Lord. And the only way you will ever find true fulfillment in life is to become a Christian by faith and obedience to Christ through being born again into the family of God. John chapter 3, Acts 2 and verse 38. And baptism is how you get into Christ. There's no other way. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3. Or do you not know that as so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? You desire to be made strong and to start serving your Master? I hope that you are. The stage is set by a conversation between a 90-year-old man, grandpa, and his 20-year-old grandson. It begins with grandpa saying, have you ever looked at your hands? Have you ever looked at your hands? I mean, really looked at them. Grandpa said, I slowly opened my hands and stared down at them. I turned them over. I turned them back with palms up. and then palms down. No, I guess I never have really looked at my hands, the grandson said. And as I tried to figure out the point that he was making, Grandpa smiled and related this story to me. He said, stop and think for a moment about these hands that you have. How they have served you well throughout your years. These hands, as he referred to his own, wrinkled, shriveled, weak, have been the best tools, he said, I have used all of my life to reach out and grab and embrace life. They have put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me to fold them in prayer. They tried. Sometimes I fail. They taught me how to tie my shoes and pull on my boots. They have been dirty, scraped, raw, swollen, bent, and they were uneasy and clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn son. And decorated with my wedding band, they showed the world that I was married and loved someone very, very special. They trembled and shook when I buried my parents and spouse and walked my daughter down the aisle. They have covered my face, combed my hair, and washed and cleansed the rest of my body. And to this day, when not much of anything else of me works real well, these hands hold me up and continue to allow me to fold them in prayer. These hands are the mark of where I have been, the rugged places in my life. But more importantly, it will be these hands that God will reach out and take when he leads me home. And with my hands, he will lift me up to his side. And there I will use these hands to touch the face of God. And the grandson said, I will never look at my hands in the same way again. But I remember that God reached out and took my grandpa's hand and led him home. And when my hands are hurt or sore, I will think of Grandpa. I know he has been stroked and caressed and held by the hands of God. And I too want to touch the face of God. And his hands on my face. This morning, whose face will you caress when you stand in the presence of our God? Are you a Christian? Or you a follower of the Lord Jesus? You can give your hand to me and your heart to God this morning while we stand and while we sing.